Thank you, Craig. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We continue this morning's message, Don't Be Surprised. And this is part 2, 1 Corinthians 2. We'll just read verses 9 and 10. We did read the whole passage this morning. We'll just read verses 9 and 10. I want to emphasize these verses. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And so this morning we talked about and started out with the fact that God has given us his word. Praise the Lord. He's given us a Bible, written words that are his words, and he reveals things to us through his word. He then, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us, and he is our guide into the word of God. He's the teacher. He guides us into the truth of the scripture, and through that process, God reveals things to us. God reveals the truth of his word. And therefore, several times in Scripture, I believe I counted 11 times, that he, the Scripture says, marvel not or think it not strange or wonder not at this or something like that. In other words, God is saying, well, don't be surprised. Or somebody said, don't be surprised because God told you this. God has already shown this to you. And so we talked about five things this morning that we shouldn't be surprised about. The first one was the position of the Son. We should not be surprised that Jesus Christ, the Son, is God. We shouldn't be surprised. God told us that. It's very clear in the Scripture. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus. Jesus is God, the position of the Son. He's the judge, and we pointed out, again, how we just celebrated Christmas, and Jesus came, and he was a little baby in a manger, and such a meek beginning, and there with among the animals there in a stable, he's born, and the devil would just love to keep it that way. He'd just love to keep it that way, and nothing else to ever be said, just he's a little baby. But that's not the end of the story. That little son, that little babe that was born in the manger is God. Emmanuel, God with us. And so the position of the Son, he is the judge. He's God. And so we shouldn't be surprised about that. That's not anything that God has not revealed to us through his word. Then we talked about number two, the punishment of sinners. That is not a surprise to us who know our Bible. That is not a surprise to you who have read the scriptures. Sin is punished and sinners are punished. Very, very clear in the scripture, God punishes sin. Therefore, God punishes sinners. There is a place called hell. It is real. And it's not a fake thing. It's not something just to scare people. It's true. It is real. And so don't be surprised about the punishment of sinners. Don't be surprised, number three, that there's a plan of salvation. Amen. I mean, God plans everything. We talked about all of God's planning and all that God does in his planning. And you know, we could talk about the planets all around and the sun and the orbit and the tilt of the earth and all those things. God has a plan for all that. God had a plan for us to be saved. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain in the mind and the heart of God. He knew that he would have to send his son. He knew that he would have to come. He would have to die to pay for our sins. And so don't be surprised that there's a plan of salvation. Number four, don't be surprised about the peace for the saved. You know, God gives peace to saved people. I mean, he gives a peace that passes all understanding. Praise the Lord for the peace for the saved. And then number five, I said this morning, don't be surprised about the power for service. God didn't send us out here to serve him and not give us power. He said, ye shall receive power. And he gives us power for service. And there's power in the work of God. And he gives us power in prayer. And boy, you ought to have that power as you pray, as you go to God in prayer. And so the position of the Son, the punishment of sinners, the plan of salvation, the peace for the saved, and the power for service. Tonight I want to give you some more things don't be surprised about. I want to give you some more things that the Bible has told us about whereby God would say, don't marvel about this, don't wonder about this, don't think this is strange because I revealed it to you in my word. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, we love you and we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for revealing things to us, for trusting us with your word. And you said that we have the mind of Christ and therefore we can understand these things and we can know them. And so we shouldn't be surprised about them. And yet we can also rejoice in all these things, especially, Lord, the plan of salvation, the peace that you give and the power. When we serve you, when we get on a bus route, when we serve you in our ministries here, in the puppet ministry or the shepherd's ministry or the RU ministry, we can have your power. And we need that power, Father, and I pray for it tonight. And just ask that you'll help us now with these next things, not to be surprised, but to know what the Bible says. And Lord, to cherish these things and to use these things perhaps as a warning in our lives that we might better be prepared to serve you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to the next thing, that is number 6, and we find that in Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8. Back in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8, here's something that the Bible not only here, but certainly it talks about and tells us about as we see kings, as we see leaders, as we see these that are in these positions of power, we see them fail and take advantage of that. Verse 8, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. I call this number 6, don't be surprised at the perverting of sovereignty. Don't be surprised when authority perverts their authority. Don't be surprised when a king gets out of control. Don't be surprised when those in authority take advantage of that and they oppress, the Bible says here, the oppression of the poor, where judgment and justice is perverted. They pervert those things which God calls for a just balance. God calls for justice. Don't be surprised when some human who has a position, could be a boss, could be anyone, an authority, don't be surprised. Why? Well, it's the nature of man to sin. It's the nature of man to let those things, those positions, perhaps go to their head. It is the nature when a king becomes a king. Well, he may become a tyrant. Happens all the time. He says, don't be surprised. You know, it's interesting how God blessed Solomon. I often wonder about Solomon. You know, God said, what do you want, Solomon? You're the king now. What do you want? Solomon could have said, you know, I want to rule with a rod of iron. He didn't say that. He could have said, well, I want all my people to give me their money and I want to do that. That's what a lot of kings want. You know, I want to put them in chains and they're going to be in bondage and do my will. And a lot of kings do that. Solomon said, here's what I want, God. I want wisdom. I want wisdom so that I can help your people. Isn't that something? I mean, it was something that I believe was near to the heart of God because God is a God of justice and judgment. And when Solomon asked for wisdom to deal with God's people justly, he said, I want to be right. I want to be fair. I want to handle this right. I do not want to be a king that oppresses my people. You know, if you're a boss, if you're a teacher, if you're a parent, we should not ever want our authority to be something where we can oppress people. We should want our authority to be a position where we can help people. And so we've all seen, go back in history, we've seen kings and rulers and presidents and CEOs and managers and pastors and parents and teachers and leaders and authority. We've seen them at times, we've seen them take advantage. And God says, look, don't be surprised about that. Marvel not at the matter. But he says this, and it's so important. He that is higher. Okay, so every, you know, all these authorities out there, be it a parent, be it a boss, be it a manager, be it a pastor, be it whoever it may be, he says this, he says, he that is higher than the highest regardeth. In other words, he's paying attention to it, and there be higher than they. God says, I'm watching over all of that. Remember Romans 13, I mean, there's no power but of God. There, you know, we have this idea somehow that, oh, you know, this, how did this happen? You know, God is not for this. God has allowed these things and these positions and all of that. He that is higher than the highest regardeth. And so tonight, as you consider this point and you think about your own life, you know, don't be surprised that you've been done wrong at work. You probably have one time or another. A boss, a manager, a leader, you know, somebody that is the crew chief, whatever. Don't be surprised that you've been done wrong at work. But God knows that. He's watching all that. You know, don't be surprised. Maybe you've been done wrong in your family. Don't be surprised. It's not, again, this is the perverting of sovereignty. Somebody gets a position and all of a sudden it goes to their head. Don't be surprised that you've been done wrong in your country. Yeah, it's very possible. Oh, we're being taken advantage of. Doesn't God know? Yes, he does. If you are, he does. And you know, we have the right to vote, and praise the Lord, we can go vote, and we should vote, but God's in control of the whole thing. He's always in control of the whole thing. I want you to think about some people over the years, the martyrs for the cause of Christ. None of that was right. But he says, I'm watching over all that. I've got all that under control. I see what's going on. I see this king. I see this leader. God knows about the Antichrist. Did you know that? He knows who he is. You know, while we're trying to calculate numbers and figure out the number 666 and who that could be, and you know, I know that's Hitler, and well, it wasn't him. You know, I mean, we got it all figured out. Well, I know who it is. No, you don't, but he does. He knows all about it. But guess what? He's higher than him. He's higher. I've read Revelation. We're teaching on it in chapter 19, you know. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, he's taken with the false prophet. And they're dealt with by God. He's higher. I don't care how big, you know. Well, you know, I can do this. What about Nebuchadnezzar? He was the head of gold, wasn't he? I mean, he's a big shot. And he was told that. Even that God said, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. You are a great king. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm a great king. But he got a little bit too big for his britches. Amen. And God said, I'm higher than you, Nebuchadnezzar. And he put him out in the backyard to pasture for 7 years. Amen. You talk about a humbling thing. And he cut down the tree, but he kept the stump. And that's all Nebuchadnezzar was for 7 years, was a stump in the yard. Oh, you talk about humbling. But when he recovered from his affliction that God gave him, he praised and worshiped the one who's higher than him. Listen to me. We all have been done wrong. There have been things that have been wrong in our lives and all these things. And our brothers and sisters in Christ, the martyrs that are dying in this world for the cause of Christ, it's not right. It's not right. But there is one higher that knows all about it. And don't be surprised when kings, presidents, leaders, congressmen say things that we have to say, what? What are they doing? Because there's one higher than them. And he can stop it at any time. Number six, the perverting of sovereignty. Don't be surprised. Number seven, don't be surprised at the predictability of Satan. We have been deceived, folks. So many have been deceived in our day. I mean, he's so predictable. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. 2 Corinthians 11. And I got to thinking as I was studying this, I was thinking of things, and I know they're not thoughts somebody else hadn't thought before, but it just kind of came to me, maybe for the first time, I don't know. But the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 11, it talks about in verse 12, it talks about, verse 13, such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And he says this, and no marvel, no shock, no surprise that there would be all that deceit out there. Why? For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The predictability of Satan. Now think about this if you would. If Satan is willing to be or transform himself into an angel of light in order to deceive us, he hates light. He hates everything there is about Jesus and about Christ and about righteousness. If he's willing to put on that outfit of right just so he can deceive us, he's pretty predictable, isn't he? He would go that far? Oh, yeah. He would do something that he absolutely despises. He would sit in church and listen to a man of God preach the Bible if he thought he somehow could destroy that man of God or that church. He would ride on a bus route, and he would even get involved, though he hates all those songs. Oh, he can't stand it. Just so he could get somebody to get out of whack and cause trouble, a child or something on that. Are you listening? I mean, he would go through all of that. I used to say, as I thought about unsaved people, and the Bible says to let the wheat and the tares grow together, the tares being the weeds. Talking about unsaved people, don't rip them up, but let them grow together. I used to think, all right, God, if there's going to be unsaved people in the church and they're going to sit in the pews, bless God, they're going to hear the word of God when they're here. And they're going to sweat, and they're going to shake, and they're going to be under conviction because they hate it. I got to be honest with you. When I was lost, I couldn't stand hearing the gospel. It tore me up. And if Satan is willing to put on angel of light costume, wow, he's pretty predictable. That means I shouldn't be surprised at anything he might do. Should I? That means false apostles. That means somebody that doesn't, they're not an apostle, but they put on the costume of an apostle. Wow. That means not only that, but deceitful workers transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They hate it. Want nothing to do with it. But they would put on that so that they could deceive people. You mean the devil? Yeah, don't be surprised. Because he'll fake it to deceive everyone he can deceive. Satan's a liar. He's the father of lies, the Bible says. And he doesn't announce when he's lying. He doesn't say, okay, this is a lie, right? His lure is to act, look like, pretend to be like us. He's a roaring lion in a suit and tie, right? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. And yet, in our day and age, we can become very, very foolish. Amen. We can become very, very foolish. Look at Revelation 19, 20. Don't be surprised. Here's what the Bible says about the false prophet. Do you understand? During the tribulation, there will be a false prophet. Now, he's right in there in power with the Antichrist. Antichrist, the beast. Okay? And it's the beast and the false prophet and Satan that form the satanic trinity. And one of them is a false prophet. What's that mean? He's religious. He's on a religious TV show. He's in religious magazines. He's a religious big shot. People say, wow, look at that guy. And maybe he gets up and he preaches and wow. I mean, he can say some good things. But he's fake. He's a false prophet. Look at Revelation 19:20. It's interesting because, and the beast was taken, amen, and with him the false prophet, watch this, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. This guy, this false prophet, worked miracles to get people to take the mark of the beast, thus sealing their damnation. That's a false prophet. Oh, but he looks so sharp. He's so, boy, when he speaks, it's just, Oh, by the way, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Cast alive. Do you understand at Armageddon, everybody, all the people there, all the armies are crushed like grapes. These two are cast alive in the lake of fire. But here's the whole deal with that. We cannot be surprised. You know, we have gotten where we're willing to listen to anything and everything. Do you understand that's why God gave us His Word? That's why we have it in black and white. That's why we have many copies. I talked about this morning in Sunday school class how many copies of the Word of God I have, you have, we all have, we have here on our property, and we should. Because this right here, this is what's going to help us to discern the angel of light, Satan. Usually it comes across like some new thing. Hey, here's what I found out in my studies, someone says. Solomon said this, there's no new thing under the sun. Every new thing's just an old thing. Same old thing. And I'm going to tell you, Satan is doing all he can to try to deceive us about things that we've believed for years and years and years. And it's all here. But he's got people confused about this. Now, folks, we either have the Word of God or we don't. It either is every word or it's not. And it has to be one because only one could have every word because none of them are the same. Amen. It shouldn't be that hard. And it shouldn't be that confusing. Yeah, but I like the way this reads. You might like the way a nursery rhyme reads. But that doesn't make it the Word of God. You know, I always liked those little elementary books. See, Jack, run. Now, I always could read those words pretty well. But that doesn't make it the Word of God. Now, just because we like the way it reads, we've been lured into this, but it's easier to understand. But I want to know the truth, not understand error. Just because it's easy to understand doesn't mean it's right. Folks, we have been lulled to sleep about these things. And we need to understand, not to be surprised, the predictability of Satan. What is he going to do to us? He's going to lie. He's always going to lie. He's always going to deceive. He's going to deceive us about our salvation. Always. Anytime somebody comes across with anything other than Jesus died to pay for our sins and you have to call on Jesus to be saved, he's a liar. He's a deceiver. Now, you don't have to hate him or anything like that. You just need to say, you know what? That's not the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to heaven but by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. But it seems like every year and all the time there's some new thing, supposedly, whereby you're going to work your way to heaven. Oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, and that's how you get to heaven. It's a lie of the devil. You get to heaven by realizing you're a sinner and Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin, and you come and you call upon him to save you. Anything else is a deceitful lie of the devil. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. And it's as old as Satan himself. He has been lying. He lied to Eve. Yea, hath God said. He lied to her. He lies to us. And he lies to us about our salvation. He lies to us about our assurance. Seems like there's always some new wacky teaching about how you can lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. It is impossible to lose your salvation. You can no more lose your salvation than I can no longer be Doug Rogers, born of Earl and Mary Rogers. I was born of them. That's who I am. And I was born from above, and that's who I am. And nobody's going to take that away. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with you always. You struggle today with your salvation because you heard somebody say, well, you sinned. Oh, you sinned. You got saved, but you sinned. You have to get saved again. I'm telling you, you do not have to get saved again. You simply have to go to God and say, God, I'm sorry for that sin. But if you don't go to God and say you're sorry for that sin, you'll lose fellowship with him, but you will not lose sonship. You are his child, and he does not disown his children ever. We're not only born into his family, we are also adopted by him. Legally binding, we will receive everything that he said we would receive. And yet there's wacky teaching. Look, when somebody starts spouting off about that kind of stuff, it's time for you in your heart to say, get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, but they're nice people. And you suppose Satan was mean to Eve? You got this idea that Satan somehow, when he tempted Eve, he had a forked tongue and it was going, not at all. The Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. The serpent was a beautiful animal till God cursed it and it became the snake that we know of. Oh, there's all kinds of wacky stuff out there. You know, Satan would love to steal our testimony. He'd love to have our testimony. That's why we need to do right. Amen. But there's all kinds of stuff out there. You know, the Bible says they'll know we are Christians. How? By our stained glass windows? They'll know we're Christians by our buses. They'll know we're Christians by our Christian school. They'll know we're Christians by our name. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they'll know we're Christians by our love. Amen. One toward another. That means Tim and I, we have to love each other. That means Brother Varnum, we need to love each other. Why? Because the world's watching us. And every time some petty little thing in your family gets out of whack with you and another Christian, your family is wondering about that. But Satan, you know, he likes to bring up those silly, petty issues to get you upset, to get you not to talk to that other brother, and the whole area goes to hell. Why? Because he's a liar. And he'll spin lies and tell lies till his heart's condemned. And by the way, he has now, with the internet and all the social media and stuff, he can spin stuff so far. Did you hear what so-and-so said about you? You know what? When somebody says, did you hear what so-and-so said about you? Tell them, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to know. Doesn't matter to me. If so-and-so comes and tells me, I'll pay attention. But if you tell me what they said, or you tell me what so-and-so said that they 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 said, I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Amen. He lies about soul winning with fruitcake Calvinists who are simply too lazy to go out and reach the world for Christ. And it makes the church into a social club. We're not a social club. We're not like the Rotary Club. You know, we're not like the 4-H Club. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying we're not like the Lions Club. We're not a club. We're a church. We're assembly of people to get out the gospel. But a Calvinist, oh, well, you know, there's some that are supposed to get saved and some that are not. That isn't in my Bible. My Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means I need to go to whosoever. And of course, Satan's always trying to get us to disobey. Always. And we've got so much junk out there. You know, the Bible says this, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, I know we don't like that verse because we like to think our sin's pretty squeaky clean. But when you or I say no to God, do you understand it's no different than drawing a pentagram on the floor, putting the little candles down, and summoning demons into our home? It's what my Bible says, witchcraft. I know. You say, no. What I do is not so. No, when he tells you not to gossip, when he tells you not to lie, when he tells you to do right, and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, it's the same thing he said as witchcraft. Right. To obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken than the fat of rams. The Bible says in the Old Testament, read the sacrifice. That fat of that those rams, boy, that would burn and that would incense or that vapor would go up and it would be a sweet smell to our God. And he said, that's what obedience is. And we've got fruitcakes out there all over the place writing books and speaking about all these different ways to show it, different movements and everything, that you're saved by grace and then God expects nothing. And I want to tell you that's right out of hell. And it is as wicked as the devil himself. God has never said, he saved me so I can do my own thing. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, I read a book. You know, I read Dr. Seuss books when I was little. You know, the Cat in the Hat and all that bunch. And that doesn't make it right. In fact, the Bible says the law of the Lord's perfect. It's perfect. And all these different things, boy, it's leading people to home church. We're going to have church at home now. Boy, it's a big thing. A lot of homeschoolers. If you're a homeschooler, don't fall for that junk. I think homeschool is fine, but home church is not in the Bible. We're to assemble together. Why? To help each other. And we need to help each other so much the more as you see the day approach. What day? Any day. What day? Could be somebody's surgery day. We need each other. We need to pray for each other. It could be somebody's trial at home. It could be the coming of the Antichrist. It could be persecution in our lives. I don't know the day. Just so much the more we need to assemble ourselves together in church. Well, I read a book about read your Bible. Yeah, read your Bible. There's a new movement out. Oh, my. You know, some guys, it's not new. I say new, but you know, a new book out, I guess. You know, you don't need to tithe. People are falling for it. Some dude writes a book. Yeah, you know, I can prove you don't have to tithe. Then he says, send me your money. And we haven't figured out the predictability of Satan. Are you listening? It's so predictable. You know, sometimes it'll be an evangelist. You know, well, you don't have to tithe. You can support your favorite evangelist with your tithe. No, you can't. Will a man rob God? No, no. Ye have in tithes and offerings. Did God say that or not? Will a man rob God? I like the explanation. It doesn't say steal from God. It says rob God. What's that mean? Stick him up, God. I'm taking it. If you're not tithing, that's what you're doing. You're robbing God. And we have people all over, you know. They somehow, and it always amazed me, Brother Cook, totally amazed me. How do they suppose the lights get paid for? How do they suppose we have nice pews to sit on? How do you suppose that we have heat in the building? Now, I don't know of anybody here. Honestly, this isn't about here. This is just stuff that I hear. I'm just saying, you know, how do we have a parking lot? How do we put fuel in the buses? How do we run all of our programs? How do we have toilet paper in the restrooms? That's pretty convenient. Well, you know, this book says you don't have to. This book says you do. I'll stick to this book. The predictability of Satan, and we just kind of, we're stupid. We just follow this stuff. And then again, you have you know, all these different things. You know, well, there's no standard that God has. Yes, there is a standard. There are standards. Everybody has standards. Otherwise, we'd all be running around naked. Oh, that'd be a sight. Man, that'd make me tired. Well, you know, you have to decide your own standard. We can't decide any. We just, God, what do you want me to do? What is wrong with God's people getting on an altar and just saying, God, what do you want me to do? We went down to Bible college, didn't have a clue. And all of a sudden I hear all this preaching. I'm looking at a handbook that I don't even follow half the rules. And I'm saying, God, you called me here, and I know you called me here. And so my wife and I get on an altar, and we say, God, what do you want us to do? And the next thing you know, the next day, there's a huge box out front for the trash man to come, and her shorts and my shorts and tank tops and her halter tops and all that kind of stuff, they're in that box, along with some music. And it all was just simply because we just said, God, what do you want us to do? That's all. You know why you're mad? Because you listen to somebody who is teaching false doctrine. Right. And this old boy here isn't anywhere near holy enough for him. I'm going to preach holiness anyway. And I'm striving for it. And we ought to strive. Instead of trying to get out of stuff, let's see what we can get in. Amen. The predictability of Satan. He's a liar. And if it's some book, some new thing, well, this little thing, how about second coming predictions? Wasn't the world going to end in 2012? We're here. I think it was 79 reasons why Christ must come in 79. He didn't. And then dummies bought his next book, 80 reasons. Why? The predictability of Satan. God said, no one knows. You know, if you're reading stuff and it's calculating when Christ is coming, throw it in the trash. But it's a good author. He's not real good if he doesn't know the scripture. The basics of the scripture that no one knows. It amazes me. Yeah, but I want to calculate. I like figuring out the number of the beast, and I like figuring this and doing that and calculating this. Go tell someone how to get saved. You are wasting your time and his time. You are his workmanship. Don't fall for that junk of the devil. Oh, the predictability of Satan. Number 8, the probability of sin. I just have three more, and they really are short. Galatians 1, verse 6. Galatians 1 and verse 6. I just want you to get this. The probability of sin. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. I know you watch, you know, you talk to some people and some Christian TV shows and radio shows, and it's like, when you get saved, everything's going to be all right. You won't sin anymore. Oh, I wish it were so. Look what he says here, Galatians 1 and verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I marvel you're so soon removed from him. How did this happen so soon? Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you lead someone to Christ and the next day they're out smoking a cigarette. I know people that have been saved for years and they still smoke cigarettes. And they fight it and they wrestle with it. And they give them up and then they get them back. And they flush them and they unflush them. Amen? Well, you can't really unflush them. But the probability of sin. Don't be surprised. You are going to get pulled this way and that way towards sin as a Christian. I like what the songwriter wrote. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave this God I love. Isn't it sad that we are? We're so, you know, the sin which does so easily beset us, the devil knows what it is. He pulls out the file and he finds your name, and there's that sin. Well, they did it here, 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 and here. Got a good chance they'll do it again, and there he comes with his temptation.